This Do Lectures episode features job hunting expert and cultural analyst Daniel Siddiqui, recorded live at the global event in Cardigan, West Wales in 2010.
Can you imagine being an employer calling someone like me into an interview and looking at my 15-page resume and saying, whoa, what the heck? 50 jobs in 50 states in 50 weeks? So I did that. I actually went into an interview after I finished my journey just to see what the employer would do and how they would react. And that's exactly what they did. They were like, what the heck? Why do you want to work here after experiencing so many different jobs and living in different states? Why do you want to end up here? And for how long? You know? So it was just kind of a trial to see what happened. So those are the kind of negative effects of having 50 jobs on your resume. No one can really take you serious. So basically, how I started was basically I took a trip to Florida, spring break vacation, and it wasn't from a job. It was actually taking a break from looking for a job. And I had like $100 left in my bank account and just wanted to go and see what's out there in Florida. I've never been there. And I slept on the beach two nights, and I got caught by a security guard both nights. And I was sleeping on the lawn chair. And he asked me a pretty demoralizing question. And for a college graduate to hear about this and very capable person of pretty much doing anything, he said, are you homeless? He asked me that question. And I was like, what the heck? How can he think I'm homeless? I'm like, spent $150,000 on my education and have a pretty good background. And it kind of made me aware of like, wow, if I'm having the perception that I'm homeless, then there's something I need to change in my life. So the day before that happened, I was on a train. I spoke to this guy next to me. He asked me, what do I do for a living? And I couldn't answer that straightforward because I failed 40 job interviews in my chosen field of economics. And I was volunteering as a coach at Northwestern University. I was volunteering as a coach at University of Virginia. I had no career path whatsoever, so I could not answer that question for him. So actually, surprisingly, a month later after that, I really was homeless. But this time I had the idea of working 50 jobs in 50 states. So I had absolutely no money. How am I gonna get started? I rented a car. It was like $300, which I used credit card for the first time in my life. And lived in my car while I had this idea, and I was trying to figure out how am I going to make this happen. And you're probably wondering, why do I want to do 50 jobs in 50 states? Well, I'm a very curious person, and I called my project Living the Map. When I was a little kid, I used to stare at maps, kind of envisioning what different states were like, how different I would be if I grew up in these states, and along with that, different careers, what kind of opportunities I might have been missing on. Did I choose the right career path, economics anyways? No, it showed out that it turned out to not be true. So if I'm gonna really understand America, it came clear to me to choose stereotypical jobs for each state. So I worked at the Mormon Church in Utah. I did worked as a rodeo announcer in South Dakota. A corn farmer in Nebraska, I was a park ranger in Wyoming, a logger in Oregon, border patrol agent in Arizona, meat packing in Kansas, making cheese in Wisconsin, which was the hardest job in America, hands down. Auto mechanic in Detroit, coal miner in West Virginia, and a high school football coach in Alabama. So that's really experience America right there. So I'm from California, born and raised, and I felt like I was living in a bubble after experiencing all these types of jobs and cultures. So I started out in Utah, which I know none of you would like to move there because it's very hard to find alcohol. So I don't think that would be a good place for you to turn up. Then I went to Colorado, which is one of the healthier states because of the mountain region, the Rockies. But this was my first culture shock for me. You know, Americans, I'm sure you guys in England or wherever you guys are from are shocked with Scottish people or Northern Ireland. I was shocked with South Dakota. You know, I was at a rodeo. I was dressed up like a city boy, shorts and a t-shirt. And everyone looked at me like, who is this guy? And and everyone had accents that I didn't really understand, and their lunch was just meat on a plate. There's no vegetables at all, just like no sauce either. It's just like, so as you see, everyone drives trucks. I had a Jeep, and that was the smallest of the vehicles. And you see these guys hanging out on the rails like this at the rodeo. And that was a very common thing that I noticed in the Midwest. You're either hanging out on a tractor tire like this or a hood of a car. And I was sitting in a restaurant with my employer, and this stranger comes up and leans on my on the chair, the booth of my where we were eating like this. And he was talking to me like he knew me for 20 years like this. If this happened in New York or something, what the hell, give me some space, and you probably have a fight or something. So I started to notice that these people are a lot more open to and trustworthy. And as I went to Minnesota, like my host families, I didn't mention that, but I found a host family in every state, and that was all based on fate. Mostly the employers would host me. And I started experiencing different hobbies as well, not just the job. So hobbies are usually developed from the environment, and every day after work in Minnesota, we all went fishing. And everything that I show you is all new to me. Being a Californian, I've never been fishing before, so everything that I'm showing you today was all new experience for me. So 12 fish in half an hour, this is why it's the fishing capital of the U.S. right here, 10,000 lakes in Minnesota. So as I made my way to the heartland of America, which they call the Corn Belt, it's pretty much all flat, just like this. It's our agricultural region. Most of our food is grown here. This is Iowa. This is where I did corn farming in Nebraska. Then I made my way to the Pacific Northwest. I'm going to talk more about the cultures today, because every job that I chose was reflecting the culture and economy of the state. So another culture that or hobby I did was hunting in Montana. And you can see this nice buck we shot. And I worked at a general store of a town of 30 people. And it was a fishing hunting supply store. So can anyone guess what this is? Can anyone take a guess, anyone? Baked potato. No, this is ice cream potato. It's a vanilla ice cream powdered with brown sugar. It's shaped like a potato because this is their culture. This is Idaho. And so, and that whipped cream is supposed to be sour cream. So I was like, wow, you only see this in Idaho. It's and here I was a logger in Oregon. And this is the horn was blown for the end of our day. And we work about 16 to 18 hours a day. And it's about 4 hours of commuting to the forest because most of us don't live in the forest. So we had to commute there. And it's pretty funny. Their hobby was drinking. And it was actually they looked forward to it so much that they were drinking and driving on the way home. And they asked me, because I got uncomfortable because they were smoking tobacco or chewing tobacco and smoking cigarettes. I was rolling the window down. And they're like, don't you have any bad habits? I said, well, I guess I haven't been a logger long enough. So that was kind of their what they look forward to. And can anyone guess what I did in Nevada, the Sin City? And don't say prostitute because that's really inappropriate. Can anyone?
Gambling,
dealing
cards.
Nope. Can we have the volume?
We're gathered here today on December 5th, 2008 for...
So yeah, I was a reverend at a wedding chapel. Yeah, I was ordained on the internet. Actually, pretty much anyone can get their license.
Are they supposed to stay?
I don't know if they're still married, but
I
can check my Facebook and see if they still have their status married. But then I made my way to the hotter region, Arizona, Border Patrol, New Mexico, and then Kansas, where you guys are probably going to ask me what my worst job was, but I hate saying what my worst job is. I would say like my most uncomfortable job was meatpacking in Kansas. It was pretty brutal. I didn't want to show any videos today, but to just see the animals being slaughtered firsthand and skinned all by hand. It was a very small operation. They did about like eight livestock per day. And it was, you know, blood squirting on your face as you're grinding meat, and just like, and it's kind of interesting because for lunch we had hamburgers and stuff. So it was really hard to digest certain things. So as I made my way to in the Missouri Valley and down to the south, Oklahoma and Texas, this is where we get most of our energy resources, natural energy resources, such as, you know, coal plants are all over the Missouri Valley. You see pumping units all over Oklahoma and Texas. And I did petroleum engineering for Chevron in Houston. And there you see all the active platforms in the Gulf of Mexico. That's crazy. It looks like another state down there. And it's really interesting because Texas is, it's kind of a country of its own. And I was, by this time I got used to seeing the American flag waving on everyone's rooftops. But this time I've seen the Texas flag waving everywhere, actually higher than the American flag. I don't even know if that's legal. So Texas is like very, had a lot more pride than any other state I have seen, along with West Virginia. And like they even named their restaurants Texadelphia. And it's not T-bone steak, but it has to be Texas T-bone steak. You know, I'm surprised the state's not called Texas, Texas, because they always had to emphasize where we are. Then I started experiencing different foods. And as you go in the south, everything's fried. So none of these foods you'll find in California. Actually, it's kind of impossible to find any, even if you wanted to ship it over. I don't think they'll legally allow it in. But catfish, fried catfish, hush puppies, broccoli with cheese, sweet tea was like water in the south. Cornbread, yeah, everything. I'm surprised they have fruit there. It kind of ruins the color of all the other brown food. But as you see, these are the people I worked with as a dietitian in Mississippi, and it's 30% classified as obese, and these people are about 300 pounds. And no, I actually didn't see any of them eating what they were preparing, so that was a surprise. this in turn became my favorite job. My background is athletics, and I'm pretty health conscious myself. And just seeing these people suffering in the poorest region of America, just because of what they have, everything's fried. And this, if you're gonna ask me my favorite job, this was probably the most what I'd be passionate about. So as I headed up north to Wisconsin, it was about a 1,200-mile drive. And these are very cold regions. I don't know how to convert the Celsius to Fahrenheit, but it was -6 degrees. I was sleeping in my car sometimes when I couldn't find the host until I met people. So as Jay mentioned yesterday, Detroit, the auto industry, that's what I did. I was an auto mechanic in Detroit. And it kind of trickled down to Indiana's culture, where you see the Indianapolis 500. I work on the pit crew down there. And when I first started, it took me about 12 seconds to change the tire. And then by the end of the week, it took me like 5.5. So big improvement. They even hired me as an alternative full time if I wanted to. Actually, I forgot to mention, most of these jobs by the end of the week did hire me full time, probably 95%. So I went into these jobs with no experience whatsoever. And I came out getting a job offer, so it's pretty amazing. And Indiana culture was kind of what really inspired me to do this whole thing, because when I first went there, I just saw all these rednecks four-wheeling, as you see here, grilling corn on the cob, shooting guns and all that, and I've never done any of that. And it's just really interesting that they're so like inspired by motors and tires that I saw kids in the driveway fighting over whose turn it was to play with the wheelchair. It's like such a simple thing. And they're like, oh, it's my turn, it's my turn. It's like, it's just a wheelchair, people. And then I was a weatherman for NBC News in Ohio. It's the worst, like most unpredictable weather because of the Great Lake. And as I made my way to Kentucky.
She won't buy. She going about that far, you should farm. Feel 2 feet in the nose.
Reach on in there. You're okay. You're not going to hurt anything.
No, believe me, that fold's coming out of there. You're not going to do anything.
Come on.
Oh, my God.
You're okay. You're good.
This is the most uncomfortable thing I've ever done in my life. I got to say. Doesn't get better than this in Kentucky at all. Mm-hmm.
doing a wonderful job, Daniel.
Huh?
You're doing great.
Oh, you scared me. Oh, man.
My hand slipped.
Uh-oh.
We're good.
You can zoom the camera. That would be awesome. Zoom the baby cup.
You feel the shoulder slip?
Yeah.
Now we're good.
Once, here we go.
Oh, we got you. There, we're getting you right there.
Grab the head.
Grab the head?
Yeah, just pick the head.
Pick it up, just hold it up off the ground.
Yeah, just pick it up. There you go. There you go.
Come on, buddy.
There you go.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, that right there, that horse season right there, just being born, is $200,000 worth. These are all race
rubbing
horses.
Rubbing vigorously. And, you're not going to hurt him.
No, you're not going to hurt him.
It's a crazy operation.
Kind of like you're trying to dry your hair like this.
Kentucky. made my way south again. Nashville, you guys all know, it's the music capital of the world. And Alabama. And this is what we call the Bible Belt. You see signs like this. You see billboards saying, if you don't go to church, you might as well go to hell. Stuff like that. Very, very conservative. Very conservative abortion, against anti-abortion. You won't see, like where I'm from, California, you won't see any of these type of signs. Even a Jesus statue you won't find. And that right there is actually Oprah Winfrey's church that she built in Mississippi. And the hairstyles in the South. Are you guys all familiar with Justin Bieber? Well, these people came way before him. They call it a frat swoop. I guess I can't do it because I have curly hair, so I don't think I would fit into this culture, but that was interesting. Then Florida, this is like where most people that are on the East Coast, they vacation, because Californians, we usually stay in our own state and vacation. So this is the white sandy beaches, and this is what my job was. I was a stilt walker at Universal Studios. I was about 12 feet in the air. So I was a park entertainer, and I fell once, and I ripped a costume, and I didn't get fired for any of these jobs, even though I probably should have some of them. Then you see like alligators just walking around, or what do you call it, waddling around, on golf courses and on streets and everywhere. So places I stayed. This is a resort in South Carolina where I stayed. It was about $1,000 a night. And it kind of made me think about like where people in America live. They really lived everywhere. Like they lived in the middle of forests, in the middle of nowhere. They lived on farmland. I lived in a trailer in Wyoming. I lived in a log cabin in Vermont, a ranch. Even adobe-style homes in New Mexico. So it just really shows the diversity of how people live. And then I made my way up to West Virginia, and the roads sort of look like here. On the way here, it was but very, very windy. You can get sick just by looking at it. And it made me think about like these coal miners, because that's what I did. Could someone from the Midwest who grew up in like a really flat land be a coal miner? How much more difficult would it be for a Midwestern coal miner than it would be for a West? Because they're so used to these type of roads and environments, like claustrophobic type. So I want to show you what I went through when I was a coal miner. We went 4 miles underground.
And turn this mantis lights off. Let me show you something.
That's it. Can't see a thing.
Only thing you can see is that little camera light on right there.
So.
Now right now we're about a quarter mile deep. And we're going to go a lot deeper than that.
Okay.
All right, John. This is a well-maintained, well-kept-up mine right here.
So yeah, it was very scary the first time. But my project was all about going out of your comfort zone and taking risks and everything. So I had to do what I had to do to get this on the road. Then I made my way up to Pennsylvania, where I lived and worked with Amish people. I built furniture. I grew my beard, just had that whole lion beard. And they asked me if I was married. And because only the married people have that, I said, I guess I'm not going to be dating this week. Because I did try to find a date in every state as well. So... this place and Utah with the Mormons, it didn't work out for me. You know, I was with the Amish farmers, you know, they don't use any electricity, but they use propane tanks and they roll around the light around the kitchen floor. That's how they get their lighting. Obviously, I went into all these states having these assumptions and everything, but a lot of the stereotypes that I had or I heard from other people weren't true. And I thought they all use candlelight walking around with a lit candle, but you know, just seeing a propane light was good enough for me to see things. So as I made my way up to the East Coast, New England states, the drivers started getting crazy in Boston and stuff, and a lot of tolls, and I didn't have any sponsors or anything, so I had to earn an income for all these jobs. So I got paid for 46 out of the 50. So filing taxes really sucked. That was another job, basically. But this was the toughest job for me, because I got seasick every day I went out onto the boat lobster fishing. And I say this sucks for several reasons. What if you're someone that lives in Maine who doesn't even like lobster? Because that is really their culture and economy. You see a lobster man calling people into restaurants. You even have a lobster drive or sign. It's just like, and same with Vermont. Like, what if you don't like syrup? They put syrup in vegetables. They make it a dessert. It's just like, wow, better move somewhere else. So, this one I kind of wasn't sure if I should talk about, but I think it's kind of funny. These are the things that I picked up, the five types of knives. Sorry, I don't know what happened to the East Coast thing. But there's five types of knives that I noticed. I want you guys to take this very lightly. I'm not like prejudiced or anything. But the religious types of knives, which I experienced with mostly the Mormons and Amish and stuff, is that they're so nice that like whatever God throws their way, they're humble, they feel blessed. And when I was working alongside them, they were so nice. It didn't seem so real. It seemed like they were almost brainwashed or something. But and then the other type was Midwest, which is kind of genuine nice, which they're really open, honest, trustworthy. You know, like I said, they gave me a key to their house and just really open, just nice because they want to be nice. The West Coast, where I'm from, which I'm used to, is like you're only nice if you get something in return. And that's what I know. Hollywood is a perfect example. If you're not useful, just kind of get out of the door, or a gold digger or something like that. And the South is more like what I realized, that they're very proper. They look like they had a very good upbringing, trained to be nice and polite. And I noticed that when I was a high school football coach, after every sentence that I said, they always said, yes, sir, and stuff like that. But you never know what happens behind the scenes. And the East Coast, they're not nice at all. So, and it's kind of funny because I'm sure that's the stereotype you guys all heard too, like New York is kind of rough people and they swear all over the place on the trains and they don't care about anybody. But I noticed when I was walking on the street in Mississippi, everyone says hi to you when you walk by strangers and stuff. And when I first walked by, I didn't say hi to anyone. And so they looked at me funny, like, how come that guy didn't say hi to me? And so I realized it's really awkward if you don't say hi in the South to a stranger. But in New York City, it's very awkward if you do say hi to someone. And so, like, I did try to say hi to someone on a train. They're like, who are you? Why are you talking to me? You know, it's just like, those are the kind of things I wanted to share with you. As I finished up my journey, Alaska, I did outdoor photography. Hawaii, I was a surfing instructor. In California, where I finished my home state, I worked at a winery. So what's next for me, which would be my big do, right now I'm working on setting up a semester program for colleges. It's called Semester of Careers. It's where to give kids or high school graduates this sort of exposure I got to help them choose a narrow down a field of study. If I did this before I went to college, I wouldn't have chosen economics. I would have probably went into nutrition, or even being a meteorologist would have been a better way for me to go. So I think this exposure in terms of cultures also has helped me find a place where I'm happy living, and I'm living in Chicago now. And a lot of Californians are like, why would you move to Chicago? And a lot of the my friends from California have never been to Chicago, so you can't really say why would you, or ask that kind of question. So, and my small or big do for you guys is actually find something that's worth pursuing and go for it. Because when I came up with this idea, I never second-guessed myself once. And I've gone through 5,000 rejections from looking for sponsors, by cold calling, and that's how I set up most of these jobs. Like, a lot of people hung up the phone on me, laughed at me. Then even my parents, they did not believe in me at all. That's why I was like living in a rental car, you know. But now they're jumped on board, so it's kind of cool how you flip the script. But I do the same with the employers. I flip the script. All those employers who rejected me at first, they emailed me and said, wow, we made a bad decision, you know. So just go for what you're passionate about, what you guys heard before, but do something that you really don't second guess yourself. That's very important. And the small do is not as easy as it sounds, but finish something. Finish what you start. You know, there's a lot of times that people like come up with ideas, or they're working on their car and they do it only halfway through, and they say, oh, I don't have time for this anymore, or I'm over this. Well, you shouldn't have started in the first place. So I think for small do, finish something. For big do, do something that's worth it. Thank you.
The Do Lectures is here to share stories of remarkable people in the hope they will inspire you to go and do amazing things too. There are over 300 talks to listen to, or if you prefer, watch on our website, thedolectures.com. Hit the subscribe button on your favorite podcast platform to get the latest episodes when they come out.